this is our podcast. Episode number 73, April 2nd.
73.
We took a little break. We've all been busy and had scheduling problems. This seems to be, like, part of the intro now.
Some of us have easier lives than others.
We had some
You know, that's a good point. That the bulk of the delay was because Andrew broke his computer.
Kind of just shit the bed, didn't it? What happened there?
Well, I mean, it was old. The tech was old, and I didn't take care of it like I should have. And
did it?
Obviously,
it like completely like brick. Or
it completely bricked, dude.
Or
I couldn't
was it just
even
slow
load.
As hell?
Like, I couldn't. Yeah, I would. Yeah,
oh, that's such a glorious feeling when you're staring at a dark screen.
I've never
seriously. It was just dark. It would not even.
I don't think I've ever had a computer just straight up go. You know, tits
it's
up
not,
like
not
completely.
Feeling,
you know, completely
that
dead.
Not
it's
a
not
good
a feeling.
At all.
That sucks, man. Well, he got a new computer, and here we are.
So
we're here. We are. We're back, and do we have a lot to talk about because we haven't talked
that
way.
You're Patrick, right?
I'm Patrick.
You're Patrick.
Okay.
Sorry,
that's
Patrick.
That's Christopher.
Hello.
And then there's Andrew.
I'm not Andrew.
He's not Andrew.
You are
I'm
not.
Andrew.
You
I am
are
not
Andrew.
And I'm not Patrick.
And you still feel the need to speak though during Andrew's part, so that's fine.
That Chris can't be controlled. He can't be.
He can't be. You cannot control me.
Don't try to. That's right.
I will not be caged.
I have a persona to live up to.
I will not be caged.
Oh, is this your podcast character? Is this your host character?
It's just who he is.
The listeners have come to expect my interruptions and this whatever.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
So. Let's just start off like the first thing that comes to mind is there's a bunch of trailers that came out. I think we should talk about Spider-Man Homecoming. We should talk about Justice League. I guess we can mention Christopher, why don't you talk about the Tom Cruise Mummy movie?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the new trailer for it, but what's your thought?
The new trailer
People made fun of the first one.
Like, are you going to let me do this? Or are you going to be like Chris and interrupt?
Woo! Damn!
You
just
like back.
You just like you just like insulted yourself.
Perfect,
like
dude.
You know that? You just okay. Continue.
You couldn't have set that up any better.
I know, right?
What were you going to say, Pat?
I remember them screwing up, like, they posted the wrong video for the first trailer, and there was, like, no sound effects, and it was just, like, Tom Cruise, like, screaming.
There was
Did you
a
hear
version
this?
That was posted online that had...
Yeah. It was
like,
missing,
it was missing
audio track.
Audio
track. Yes.
Yes.
So, really, parts of it will...
How do you do that? I mean, my God, that is...
Here's what it is. You probably... They probably were cutting the trailer, right? And then they,
Why
like...
Why are we talking about an old trailer? We gotta talk
true.
About the new trailer.
Okay, talk about the new trailer. That was funny, though, that they screwed up.
Well, why did you interrupt the insider? This was going to be an insider take. Patrick, fill us in.
This is true.
My best guess is they were editing, and when you do the edits for each... like audio track, you have like the dialogue track, you have the sound effects track, you have the music track, and like somebody probably had the music and the sound effect track like muted, and then they exported, and then only the dialogue and the grunting and the screaming track was unchecked, and so that's my best guess.
Some very distinctive.
Assistant got fired.
Yep. Some like assistant editor who was like there to you go export that. I'm gonna go get a cup of coffee and talk to all the execs.
Go get a beer.
Yeah, exactly. And he screwed the pooch on that one for sure.
He did.
So anyways, trailer two. Tell us about it, Christopher.
Trailer two. Much more of a detailed look at the mummy, which is
played by a very interesting actress. I forget her name. She was in Star Trek Beyond. She played.
She was in Kingsman.
She was also in Kingsman.
Yeah,
yes. She was awesome in Kingsman.
Kingsman was
we'll look
fun.
Look up her name right now.
Kingsman was fun, but
I feel like she's Brazilian.
Oh, I think
looking
so too.
Up right now. My screamingly fast.
Anyway, you get a much more detailed view in this trailer of her
Sophia Boutella.
Oh, that's yeah.
Playing. Nice.
They give more of a backstory. I guess Tom Cruise is he appears to be sort of a up-to-date Dr. Jones. He's in the middle of a firefight in somewhere that appears to be in Egypt. There's some activity going on, and then there's some explosions, and it exposes looks to be a sort of ancient statue, and then of course they rappel down into this cavern, and mm-hmm. down in the cavern, and this is not a tomb, this looks like a prison, you know, that kind of stuff.
I don't really like that always
these Egyptians are putting their
right
bad not the worst killing people they are just imprisoning
consigning them to terrible
they're cursed for the afterlife. I don't know how I feel about this movie just being called The Mummy, because like when I think of The Mummy, I still remember the Brendan Fraser version, which I actually liked, you know, the first one, at least the first one was
Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
It was fun. Arnold Vosloo as The Mummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually okay with the title, cause I can't stand, I would hate if it was The Mummy 2.0 Mummy Part 4
The
Mummy Reborn.
Resurgence.
The Mummy Resurgence.
Yeah.
Sounds stupid. Yeah.
The Mummy Resurrection.
So I like I like a clean.
Clean slate. Mummy. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the thing with this movie, the big picture of this movie is the fact that it's launching a new franchise universe.
I love these ideas. I love it.
The Universal Monster Universe.
Right.
And apparently it's the first – it'll be The Mummy. I don't know if they're – I don't know what
Dracula, Frankenstein.
Dracula, they're trying to revamp those? Really?
It's going to be a franchise, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Same thing they're doing with Godzilla and the monsters.
Mm-hmm. All following that Marvel template of standalone
movies. Oh, they're going to like overlap?
They are going to overlap, eventually appear together. Yes.
Interesting.
I like. Yeah. I like that idea. Construct a universe, set people conflicting, you know, in that universe, and then eventually, Frankenstein and the Mummy team up.
Something,
right? That's the only way. That's the only way that can work.
That movie has interesting idea. That movie has to suck, right? I mean that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Who knows?
Let's see what they can do with this first one. It looks like. I mean, Tom Cruise, he's made some good movies. He's made some questionable movies, obviously. But everything he makes, you know, has some buzz around it because he's Tom freaking Cruise.
Because he's Tom Cruise.
He's 53 years old and he hasn't aged since he was 31.
Is he still going to be like he's in all these like franchises now. Jack Reacher and Mission Impossible, and then this Mummy movie if they want to make sequels for it. Like, is he just like the franchise man now? Like, what's happening?
He can do it, dude. It's Tom Cruise.
That's just a lot of work. That's just like
he's gonna live forever.
He's gonna live forever.
He really is gonna live forever until the aliens show up and beam him up to the spaceship.
Yep.
And take him off to the planet where he's some kind of god.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's 100%
what's happening. That's Tom Cruise.
Yep. Cool. So there's that.
It looks to be an entertaining. I like her, and the depiction of the mummy looks awesome. Her powers appear to be significant, and her threat to the human race appears to be dramatic, and I like all of those things.
It looks like another throwaway monster movie, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Kind of does.
I mean, that can be very true.
What do we think of the Justice League trailer,
Andrew? I loved it.
You're excited about this?
I also loved it because I like the – little tweaks of humor.
Right. Yes.
I like the
They've argued in the past that the Batman v Superman and Man of Steel movies were far too serious and not having fun, you know? And so they're listening to the community, the audience, saying, like, these are superheroes. Where's the fun? Where's the happiness? Where's the, you know?
You can have, yes, they have. It appears very much so, especially with introduction of characters like the Flash and Aquaman, which are
kind of absurd,
a tiny bit silly. I mean, Barry Allen's whole character is that he's upbeat and hopeful, and you know, he's energetic. He's the Flash, and then their take on Aquaman, which Aquaman has the coolest parts in this trailer.
Yes.
He looks like kind of this wild barbarian king type.
It's
pretty cool looking.
What you're forgetting is, like, Aquaman up until now has been a joke.
I understand completely.
Right. So they're trying to make him actually cool, which is good.
Well, Jason Momoa is cool.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Like, he's a cool dude.
They just casted a cool actor. So it works.
You know, he's a freaking mountain man. He's the only guy who could look, you know, Chris Hemsworth in the eye and be like, yeah, I'm as badass as you are, dude.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the trailer definitely plays out the fact that it's going to be more fun. It's a team up movie. It's going to have cool action. It's still got still feels like it's going to be dark and have some gritty violence, you know, which you expect.
You
from
see
Zack
a little
Snyder
bit
movies.
Of the apocalypse, like Minions a little bit in the trailer.
Parademons.
Yeah. Like, they're like minions, workers.
It's definitely, they're on Earth looking for something, and they are a threat.
Yeah. So Apocalypse.
And, of course, the big omission from the trailer is there's no peek at or suggestion or hint of Superman.
Yep. There is.
What is your take on that?
You see Lois Lane for, like, 1 second.
Yeah, you see Lois Lane for a second.
And people are saying that he's in this movie, but, like, what part he plays, they're going to do some kind of crazy
resurrect Superman. You can't have a Well, the reality is Justice League has the Justice League and almost all of its incarnations in the comics, and most of its incarnations in cartoons and other forms, has 7 core members.
Right.
And Superman is one of them.
This segues into the latest Wonder Woman trailer. Did you see
that?
Yes. That looks great too.
I'm very excited for Wonder Woman.
Very excited.
I think that might be like it could be one of the best, you know, like
I'm excited to see Wonder Woman get the big screen treatment as the badass that she is. Yeah, it's going to be, and Gal Gadot, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. She looks like she's going to kill it.
Yeah,
like, just kill it. Just ass kicking.
I think it has the potential to be an amped up. Patrick, I know that you don't like the first Captain America movie, but I think it has the potential to be like that movie, but better.
I just there's part
historical drama.
I like that it's a period film set in World War I.
Yeah,
it certainly seems like it deals with the idea of the human race is now industrializing war, and it's the biggest conflict. It's a worldwide conflict, and that's what pulls her off the island and makes her interact with the world of men. Mm-hmm. And how
what do you make of the line where there's the voiceover that says that she can't learn, you know, she shouldn't know what she is or how, you know, I don't know.
What does that mean?
Wonder Woman's origin in the comics is she was clay that was like molded into a person by her mother. And then she was breathed in life by Zeus or some kind of other Greek god.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Zeus.
And
that's a pretty common demigod.
Because there's no men on this island, so all of them just live forever and they don't have kids. And she's like the first like child of the Amazons. Like since they've been on the island. That's
why would she be a child if she was formed from clay?
You're asking a great question. She's turned human-ish. Sith.
But I mean, she clearly lives for 100 years in the world of men.
She's immortal.
This movie's set in 1918, ostensibly, and then she appears in Batman vs. Superman, which takes place in contemporary times.
So and she hasn't aged a century. She doesn't look any different.
Has not aged.
So,
So it could be we never see the line
suggests that the women, the Amazons, are keeping something from her.
Oh, definitely. Like they have some kind of destiny.
I was intrigued by that line because it was clearly
the hint is
that she is not aware of her origin or something, some aspect of her that the Amazons have not told.
Well, you got to give the character a little character struggle.
There's a character that exists on Themyscira. She's an Amazon, I believe. Her name is Harbinger, and she has the ability to glimpse into the future.
Ah.
So if they pull that character into the Wonder Woman movie and
I think that's why Hippolyta,
her mother, becomes aware of some destiny that she has and some danger that she will eventually be in.
Well,
and
she's going to try to like keep the war off of the island, you know, kind of a thing. Like humanity is about to wipe itself out, and that the island Themyscira is going to be, you
caught
know, caught up in it.
A previous trailer shows it under attack, right?
Right.
Yeah. No. Right. Some kind of armed
predecessor German, of Hydra or something.
Yeah. They're trying
different universes.
Total.
whatever.
Crossing universes.
You know, whatever. That is.
So yeah, we're excited about that one. What do we think of?
That's just a couple months away. That's in June, man.
What do we think of the newest Spider-Man Homecoming trailer?
Honestly, I could give two shits about Spider-Man.
No kidding! I am so excited about a new Spider-Man.
I'm really excited.
Bringing Spider-Man into the Marvel Universe is exciting because it's bringing Spider-Man into
the Marvel Universe. Right.
But honestly, Spider-Man has never been at the top of the list of my favorite heroes, so I'm like, meh. I actually really like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. I thought they were good.
I agree. I thought they were good.
I think for the most part, Andrew Garfield was very good, but there was a couple of facepalm moments of that movie
There's facepalm moments in almost every superhero movie.
True.
You're lucky if you get out of a superhero movie without a facepalm.
I guess it's like the gravity of the facepalm and the abundance of the facepalm that I'm commenting on.
I really think the movie will benefit from being in the Marvel fold. I think it suffered from under the Sony watch. I think it suffered from a little bit of we get kind of a surface level of understanding of Spider-Man, and I think in the Marvel fold, I think they have a better sort of sense of. I'm hopeful of this. They have a better sense of the character background. Sort of what underlies and what makes Spider-Man compelling. And the tone of Spider-Man in Civil War was dead on.
I can't dispute that at all. Tom Holland looks to be a great Spider-Man.
Right. I think that will carry – I hope that carries forward into his own movie. I'm excited for it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just Spider-Man's never been. I'm just not that excited about another Spider-Man movie. We've had 10 in 5 years.
It's kind of silly that we're getting another one, but I'm glad
love Spider-Man.
I just love that.
Christopher is the prime example. Christopher loves Spider-Man.
I'm just excited that
number one hero.
I'm of the same opinion as Chris that this. I'm glad that Marvel is getting a take on Spider-Man finally, and I'm excited about that take because I feel like they've been killing it. So,
I like the interplay of Tony Stark and Tom Holland.
That too,
and Tony Stark taking on a much more of a mentor idea,
Jr.
Reluctantly. So, there's when Tony Stark and Peter Parker interact in the Brian Michael Bendis arcs. of the Avengers and when Civil War happened in the Marvel Comics universe, those two and how their characters interplayed were pretty interesting. So if some of that is brought through to the movie, it could that could be a very interesting kind of character dynamic between the two of them. So
totally.
That part could be interesting for sure.
Okay. What yep. what other things do we have for news? Do we hit it all? So they announced that there's a trailer for Destiny 2. It's coming out September, right? September
8th.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we
no
we,
gameplay in the trailer. It
no
looks
gameplay.
Pretty,
yeah.
It focuses squarely on one of the Vanguard characters that we've known for all of Destiny 1, Cade 6. It looks like to be a direct sequel to the first game. There's a Cabal invasion, and things
the trailer itself explains why you are starting
from
with none
scratch.
Of your gear. Yeah,
exactly. All
of your gear
is
I thought
gone.
That was a cool touch. I like the humor of it.
There's been so much hand-wringing in the Destiny community about whether or not my, you know, all these things that I've acquired over playing this game over 3 years will carry over, because it's such a loot-based game that, you know, will my thorn carry over? Will my last word, the gun that I love the most, blah, 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 all this hand-wringing and people so worried about it. But now they know. Nothing's getting carried forward to the new game. There's going to be all
like,
kinds
I
of
I feel
boo-boo.
Like they need to... So Mass Effect, the original Mass Effect series, they would like, give you stuff from if you played the first one. Like, you could trade over your character to like the next game. And I loved that they did that. It was really cool that, I mean, you had to start over at level one and you didn't have any like good gear, but you got some benefit for playing the first one.
I think there'll be some of that.
Yes,
I hope they
is.
Do.
They've
I hope they do
said,
some.
Your,
right. Okay.
Your character's coming forward, to in it will be imported into Destiny 2. The question is, is what aspects of the gear, the look,
totally.
Any of that, what are they going to give you?
I
kind of
wanted to
player?
Change it up. Like, give me a different look and different armor and start from scratch. All new weapons. I like the weapons.
They're doing that. They're doing that for sure. But
for
I think
sure
there's going to be legacy stuff that I think because you're importing in your character, they're going to try to capture some of that, what you're talking about.
Right,
that Mass Effect feel. Mm-hmm. Because I think they're trying to build, a whole series, right? So
totally. They are. It's a
they
registered the
they
property for 10
that.
Years.
We'll
yeah,
see if
no.
they strike the proper balance. They've struggled to figure out that kind of thing. So
yeah,
I'm interested to
have.
See what they do.
Me too. But yeah, it's a fun trailer. I mean, if you like Nathan Fillion and his voice acting, he carries the whole thing, and it's really funny.
Yep.
So
it's funny.
Yep,
my stuff. We're talking about all of your stuff, but most,
and my stuff.
Most
pretty good.
Most importantly, my stuff.
My stuff. Yep, he's great.
All right. Well, let's do some scene because it's been a while. Christopher, do you have any scene you'd like to discuss? I'm sure you do.
I'm sure he hasn't watched anything since
nothing.
Mid-February.
He's watched nothing since
been a hermit. That's right.
Yeah.
I have not turned on anything since.
Yep.
Mid-February.
Yeah.
What I will highlight is Logan.
Yeah.
Logan came out since last week podcasts. I think it had enough attention from all of us that we were even contemplating doing a one-shot until Andrew's computer took a dump. That movie is, in my view, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love the tone. I love the story. I love the idea themes. It hit me hard. It hit me hard. That father daughter thing was strong.
Yes, it was.
And no superhero movie to date, other than The Dark Knight, has hit me that.
I agree.
I am like the only one that was disappointed with this movie.
Wow.
I have not met anybody that is like this, that disliked this movie as much as I did.
Wow. Okay.
I just, I was very underwhelmed. Like, I felt like it was kind of just boring in parts, and some parts were really cool. I like the Professor X parts. I don't like where this universe has gone, you know, because it was at this point for me where there's all these mutants and there's all these heroes and there's Professor X and, you know, and now there's just none of that. And it painted this really bleak future. And, you know, the resolution to all these characters was really disappointing to me. Yeah, that's my take. Are you guys still there? I don't hear you at
I'm
all.
I'm here. Okay. Yeah, we're just I'm listening here. To you.
Letting you say your opinion.
Yeah, letting okay. you say your piece.
Good.
Yeah. I'm going to weigh in. I have I'm not a father, so I didn't react exactly like Christopher did. I very much enjoyed the movie. I like the tone of it in the sense that, I mean, it's very, you know, it's they build the themes. It's definitely a superhero movie set in a Western genre. They try to meld the two themes, and they're very upfront about that. They make reference to Shane, you know, one of the best Westerns ever, about, you know, the gunslinger who, you know, reluctantly can't escape his past, and that's pretty much the character that Logan is in the movie. And I like the themes. I like the interplay between Logan and the girl Laura, of course, Professor X and his kind of aging, slightly dementia infused Patrick's funny and adds a moment. He's always good. Patrick Stewart's good in everything.
Oh yeah.
But he's it's a tragic character and at the same time he's very funny.
The acting in this movie is fantastic. I will say that. Like, I just
yeah,
wasn't happy.
Are great.
I just wasn't happy with the setting, and I wasn't happy with the overall resolution to characters that I liked. You know,
we talked about before, because of the success of Deadpool, they made the choice to go full tilt with the rated R of this movie, and
yeah.
It is extremely bloody and violent, and
totally
very, not to very the point violent. Where you're it. I mean, Wolverine's existence would be shockingly violent and shockingly brutal, and they played it exactly right, in my opinion, in terms of the level of blood and violence in the movie, because that's exactly how his life would be. It's actually been underplayed and kind of, you know, he's such a violent character and he's led such a violent life that really hasn't been communicated well on screen before, how bad it would be. And I think they do it pretty much right on in this movie in terms of that aspect of his life and
this,
how that would
this work is him. Definitely the best Wolverine movie, I will say.
Easily
that. Yeah,
easily.
Yeah, the other two are just not even close to being this good. So
yeah. You didn't like the bleakness, is what you're saying.
It's hard to put it like a part of it was I don't like that we're showing Wolverine being weak. I wanted like Wolverine. I never got Wolverine the ass kicker ever. Like I wanted to see him just be unstoppable and smoke fools and like I never got that. He's just this old guy that's dying, that's barely holding on in this movie, and that's boring to me. I'm like, no, dude, this isn't Wolverine. This is not how I want to see him end, you know. And
okay.
And you know, this is Hugh Jackman's last movie that he's playing Wolverine. He might do cameos, he said, but I mean, this is the last Wolverine.
I would be surprised
movie.
If we see him show up in the next Deadpool movie. Just as
I think that would be great. I think
a
that
blatant
would,
like fan service.
Totally,
like,
totally. If they could pay him,
all the jokes, and then he shows
right.
up.
If they could pay him like $1 million just to show up for one day of shooting, they will. Like that's how I feel like they're gonna do it. And he's like cool enough that he would totally. Yeah.
He would get the joke.
He would too. Get the joke, and he'd want to do it too. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with the bleakness. I'm okay with the realness of it. I just like, where are the rest of the X-Men? This is what Professor X has turned into. You know, that sucks. Like, I don't like that's where we are at. I mean, the last movie.
But like. It's telling a different story.
The
though.
Last movie.
Two different stories.
Right.
I don't want another X-Men fighting the giant robot movie. Is that
right.
What you,
no,
you don't want
well,
that?
Well, I want that a little bit, but I don't want it to be.
That's what the reboot X-Men timeline is for.
So.
Yeah. This is the old man Logan story.
The last time we saw Professor X, like
wonderful, tragic, poignant.
I get all that. I get all that.
Filled with Wolverine kicking ass and killing fools. I mean,
yeah.
That's what this movie is. Except he's not invulnerable.
Right.
And there's a. I love that aspect of.
All right.
Because it's cliche for a superhero to be invulnerable and killing everyone.
Totally.
It's not. That's boring. This is not boring at all. This is real people dealing with real shit who have fucking superpowers.
Yep.
And the idea that Professor X has dementia or some kind of a mental disorder is – I mean that idea is so awesome and chilling in that the most powerful mental mutant in the world who – is losing control of his powers to the point where anyone in the vicinity, I don't know what the radius is of what he's doing.
Oh, no,
to people,
that scene.
But holy shit.
The scene in the casino.
Those,
is so
those
awesome.
Scenes are genuinely scary.
God.
Yes.
Like, you're shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Logan has given up his life, essentially, to protect everyone around the professor because he knows it's needed to be done to keep the professor in check.
Totally.
And so he does that. He is the person who keeps the professor from killing everyone around him.
Yeah.
Because Logan is the only one who can survive it for even a short period of time.
Yeah.
All of those elements, it made for just a fantastic tale. And you throw in the clone, you throw in the father-daughter relationship and the poignancy of the end, I thought it was great.
All right. Really. Yeah, good. What else do we have? Andrew, do you have any other? You're still going, Christopher. Just keep going.
Briefly, because it's been a long time, but I'm current on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Tonight is the finale.
It is.
This season has been actually pretty good.
The back half of this season has been good.
Yeah. You know, there's some typical low spots, Walking Dead season, but I've enjoyed it a lot, and tonight's the culmination of everything they've been building to, so I'm excited about that.
Yep.
I am also watching the Samurai Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that
I totally forgot that
again.
That was even on.
Oh, my God, is that good. You guys need to be watching this. Everyone listening, if you did not watch the first Samurai Jack, you missed out on a fantastic cartoon. And I would strongly recommend.
I've heard they've gone really dark with it.
Jack is in a very dark place. He does not have his sword, and they have not explained what happened to the sword yet.
Okay.
And there's lot. It's 15 years later from the end of the original show. And it's 15 years. Jack has not aged. And there is blood, lots of blood. He's not just killing robots. He is slicing open fools.
Cool.
Okay.
And blood is falling and spraying. It is it's highly entertaining so far. Same kind of art style, same kind of storytelling style, which I love. And, it's telling a much darker, more interesting story.
How many episodes are they into the new season? Three. Okay. And they're the same half-hour format?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
Really good.
Cool, cool, cool.
It's on Amazon Prime, right?
No. It's on, Cartoon. It's on Adult Swim.
The past seasons of Jack, you can find them on Amazon Prime.
No kidding. Okay, cool. Okay,
Yeah.
Andrew. What scene do you have?
Well, I will touch on. I continue to be current with The Expanse, which is.
I'm one behind.
Great,
don't
freaking
ruin it.
Great show.
Yeah, this
great,
season has been so
show.
Good. Holy
so
crap!
Good. Yeah, all the aspects
so The only disappointment for me has been the treatment of Bobby Draper.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, they are ramping her up slowly.
Yeah.
But I've been bummed with how little – and I say that out loud, and now I'm thinking about her storyline. It takes a while for her to sort of connect with our central people. So –
She's so likable in the book that I think that you want her to be like that likable in this.
She's not that likable in these first episodes.
Right. Yeah. She's really not.
She's not likable yet in the
– I think it's really interesting that like we're midway through the season or like over the hump now. But the book one ended – in the middle of season two, and now we're kind of dipping into book two.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that they chose to do that. I guess it makes sense, but it's kind of like, I have no idea how they're going to end this season.
I don't know where they're going to end it either.
Yeah. What's going to be the big resolution or the big stinger that's going to get us to come back? I don't even remember what big thing happened in the middle of book two that could it be?
It'll end with them on Ganymede, is my guess.
Oh.
And the whole investigation of Ganymede.
Well, there's like a shootout in Ganymede,
and then
too.
The confrontation that occurs on Ganymede.
Yeah. There's some crazy...
They're headed there, and there's some crazy shit.
And that creature that was on Ganymede is going to end up on their ship. Holy crap. That's going to be crazy.
Right. And then that leads to the even better... aspects of shit.
I know.
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. These are all book stuff.
So awesome.
The show is great.
The show is really
firing on all cylinders. I am. Yes. The Expanse is great. I'm recording it and I watch it. If I don't stay up to watch it every single Wednesday, I'm watching it like Thursday morning before I go to work.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one behind. I forgot to watch that.
I'm one behind on The Magicians.
The Magicians has been so fun this season.
It is so fun and so batshit.
Yeah.
I found myself laughing out. I think I'm
two or three behind.
Oh, okay, my God.
There's a moment in a recent episode where Margot casts a spell and everyone sings a song.
Yeah.
I was laughing with glee because of how great it was.
You're making me remind me that they did a Flash Supergirl like singing episode. Did you guys watch that?
I'm behind.
No, I have. Oh my God. You guys got to watch that. There's this really good, they sing like a duet at the end and it's freaking great. Like, just that song alone is worth watching the whole episode. Like, it's really good. So, and those were at the same night, the Flash Supergirl crossover. That musical episode aired the same night as I watched the Magicians episode that had the singing in it too. And I was just like, what is happening? All these like musical shows are happening.
That's pretty cool.
So
I'm one behind on the Magicians, but that show continues to be a lot of fun.
It's crazy. It's so crazy and fun.
They are taking full advantage of this is a world where there are literally no limits as to what we can try to do, and it's dark and it's got some really kind of deep themes going on, but they don't take themselves too seriously. There's always, the absurdity of what's going on is not lost on the characters, and they understand that what's happening is just sometimes so crazy that they comment on it.
I love the fact that
it's not kiddie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not. It is very adult.
It's not kiddie, yeah.
They are dealing with adult stuff.
It's really good.
I think this season, season one was good, but this season is definitely like they figured out their tone a lot better and their pacing. I think they brought
the different plot threads together.
Right.
Season one suffered from Julia being like on her own thing, but now she's fully kind of brought into the Break Bill's kids.
Right.
Plot line. So I like that very much.
I think that everybody's like each of the main characters just have their own little story arc happening, and they're all like kind of interweaving. And I think that was missing from the first one. Cause like the first season, Margot and, I'm blanking on his name right now. Elliot. They really don't have like a plot other than to just be there with Q, and right. so I love that they have their own story going. Penny's got his own story going.
Does the show track the book? Books?
I didn't read the second book. I read the first one, and it's pretty close. Like the stuff that was different in the book, they kind of came back to in season two. So the stuff that happens, they definitely address, but it just kind of happens in a different order, in a different way. So I don't know. I might have to pick up book two once the season's over. I might have to pick up book two and see what the differences are.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have any other scene, Andrew?
Nope, that covers pretty much what I'm totally
I have
current
so
on.
Much scene. So, I continue to watch Supergirl, Arrow, Terrible, Flash, losing its voice, and Legends of Tomorrow, which I think is the best one right now.
Really?
Legends of Tomorrow.
That's the one I haven't watched any of.
Legends of Tomorrow of this season has... I mean, they're ridiculous. It doesn't... It's so goofy, but... This season has gotten really good. I think it's the writing is they finally figured it out, and I'm a fan. The past episode was awesome.
See, I'm not current on Supergirl. I'm just a couple behind on Supergirl, but I've really enjoyed this season of Supergirl a lot.
Supergirl's fun. The past episode of Supergirl was kind of it's a little bit rough, but
okay. Just, you're enjoying Legends of Tomorrow. That's
dude,
I have not watched a single episode.
I didn't realize I was enjoying it until this last episode, and I was like, huh, this is pretty fun. And then I went back and rewatched some of this season, and I'm like, you know what? These episodes, they're just having a good time. And you can tell. Like, the actors and the crew are just... having a good time and making a fun show, and that's where it's like really really shined for me, and I think that translates. My favorite show by far right now that just ended was Legion. Legion was amazing, and I am sad that it's over.
That's when you know, dude.
I watched Legion, and it was incredible.
Incredible. Like, didn't see it coming at all.
Seven episodes of that show on my DVR.
Seven? Oh, my God.
The pilot did not grab me like it grabbed the two of you.
I think the pilot was not that good. It was kind of weird, but by episode three, I was so hooked.
Weird.
So hooked.
It didn't suck me into a story as much as it did the two of you, so I wasn't immediately compelled to, I want to know what's going on. I want to watch the next episode. So it's on there. I'll watch it during the doldrums of summer when there's really – between now and July.
That's coming.
A piece of news we didn't mention on Game of Thrones season 6.
Oh, yeah. They did a trailer of that. Did you see the trailer?
A brief trailer.
Yeah.
Teasing – the new season will premiere in July, July 16th. So.
Cool. And this is going to be a short one. This is 7 episodes, right?
7 or 8, and then the next episode, the next season is going to be 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It's really only 15 or 16 episodes left.
Crazy.
Of Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is sad, but there is a finish line. They are very clear in their trailer that was released a few days ago that the conflict will coalesce around Cersei and Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen. Like, the three of them will somehow encounter each other and fight for the Seven Kingdoms somehow.
This is what's going to happen.
Yes, it will. So
super pumped about that. Legion's amazing. I'm sad it's over. I can't wait till season 2 comes back. Probably my favorite show by far. It's just so weird and interesting and thought-provoking. And the music's fantastic, and it's shot well. Yeah, I can't say this enough that I love that show. What else am I watching? I had something else that I was going to talk about. Magicians is really good. Expanse is really good. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I guess I just had... I was watching all those, but I don't have a lot to say on them. Let's move on to some Red. Andrew,
yeah, buddy.
Andrew, what do you have for Red?
I finished. Christopher, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, good. Sorry. I finished Babylon's Ashes, the latest book in the Expanse series, book series. It ended very well, if not just a little bit abruptly. Could have been, I think, a little more of a – I don't want to say it was anticlimactic because it has – it builds to a big kind of confrontation.
You know, Andrew, I had the same reaction actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
The resolution didn't you know, it didn't pay off.
It didn't have a lot of payoff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm totally invested. It's a good book. It's well written. The characters are great. By now, I mean, the writers, because it's two gentlemen who write under a pen name, they understand the universe. Their characters are well drawn. Having all of the kind of main heroes together is a lot of fun. On the same ship, pulling on the same oar, it's fun that way. Yeah, it just was a little bit abrupt. You know, the next book they release a book basically once every year, so it'll be next summer, next fall when we get, this coming. So probably 7 or 8 months from now we'll get a book, the next book in the series. So we'll see. I liked it. What I am really excited about, I picked up a copy of American Gods by Neil Gaiman.
Oh yeah,
and I will have that finished by the time. And you guys know
Have you started it?
Oh yeah, no, I'm 100 pages in.
Okay, do you know what I was talking about though? With like the first like 100 pages being like kind of boring.
It's a little sloggy. They are definitely building atmosphere, right? And they're building a lot of. You're getting a lot of information about the tone. It's so intricate, the world that Neil Gaiman is building, and the character, and Shadow Moon I really am enjoying the point of view character that he is building with him, and all the crazy shit that's going on around him, and I really am excited to see what this all turns into, because it feels like it's building into something just amazing.
Yep.
And Christopher, you've read it, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I am, and I can't say enough about, I haven't read anything, I've read some Neil Gaiman comics before. Neil Gaiman's prose in this book they're luminous, it is so effortless how his writing, as a person who tries to write fiction, to read what he writes and how he communicates ideas and builds character and atmosphere and tone, it's so intimidating because he is so good at it.
So good. Yeah,
he's so good. His prose are amazing. He's a fantastic writer. It's as good a writing as I've read in a really long time. And it's got all these really interesting, weird ideas, and yeah, I can't wait to see where the book goes. I really can't. It's been nothing but a pleasure to read for the first 100 pages. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. And the TV show is going to be on Stars starting April 30th, so I have a firm deadline that I have to have the book done by. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Christopher.
That's what I'm reading right now.
Christopher, what do you have for read?
I am also reading Neil Gaiman. I am reading his recently released book on Norse mythology.
Cool.
I've seen that in bookstores. I almost got that for you for your birthday, but I figured you had it already.
I think he just did so much research for American Gods on Norse mythology that like he just was like, well, I have all this information. Might as well make a book.
Actually, it goes deeper than that. I've read interviews of him, and he grew up reading, and I have the actual book that he references that was sort of the original popularizer of Norse myths. And he grew up reading that book, and so he is steeped in this mythology for a long time, for his whole life. And it has influenced many of the things that he has worked on and written. And then he got to the point where basically he has written a book that is his telling of the essentially central mythological tales of the Norse gods. And it's really, really great so far. Cool. Norse gods are a fascinating, effed up group. you know, it's a cycle of, you know, the typical sort of creation cycle and end of the universe cycle. And I'm working my way through that and really enjoying it a lot. I'm not quite current, but I am continuing to read Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to suffer from the same criticisms that I've voiced before, but I am committed to reading it through the arc that Coates is on, and so I will continue to read it because I want to see where he's taking it and what the characters, what they figure out. I don't know if it's a success, but I'm reading it.
Okay. Not a ringing
endorsement. No. Yeah. And I am close to the end of Seven Evas.
Finally.
I'm still not done.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
I will be finishing it within the week.
Okay.
Okay.
Within the week. So, good.
Yeah. I'm going to power through to the end because I got to finish that.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my red, my highlight.
So I continue to listen to the book Story by Robert McKee about script writing, and I'm also reading I got a couple of, like, academic books. I'm reading The Complete Film Production Handbook, which got recommended to me by a producer that I'm working with currently. And so I'm reading that because it talks about all of the aspects of film production, you know, just for professional betterment. And I've read a little bit of The Huntress, but just a little bit. I'm trying to finish that. I want to get back into it, but I only read like a few pages of it this week, I would say.
Not Huntress, Monstrous?
Monstrous.
Monstrous.
Monstrous. That's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah, so those are what I'm reading, kind of just breaking that down. Let's do some played. We all played Destiny. We all played the new Age of Triumph expansion this week, where, you know, they revamped the stories and they like redid all the raids, so that they're like top level. They're said this is the last patch before Destiny 2. So yeah. this is it. This is where the game is, and
yeah, this is like the swan song of Destiny 1.
They added a lot of like armor and stuff to get. Do we have any comments on that?
It was a lot. We played the other night. We played a couple story weekly missions. Story missions that work on our quests, and that was fun. You know, they've changed the format on that, and yeah, no, it's just a fun game to play. Now there's new stuff to chase. So
here's a question for you guys. For Destiny 2, what is your biggest gripe with Destiny 1 that you hope that they fix or change?
Not enough repetitive content.
Yeah, very repetitive content.
I want a stronger narrative.
Yeah, yes, that's.
So I want to be inundated with main quests and side quests and shit to do that doesn't involve daily grind of bullshit.
There's a lot of daily grind and there's a lot of repetitiveness. Absolutely.
Weekly grind like of bullshit. They need to figure out the much more sort of regular. This is a shooter that should be more like Diablo. I'm getting upgrades. I incrementally am bettering myself and I can do that. And I can do that any path that I choose. I don't have to go into the fucking raid if I don't want to.
Totally.
I can be a badass player.
Well, I think
doing quests.
Right. I think they got there towards the end. You could get to level 400 light without doing the raid.
Right. Right.
Which is okay.
It's a lot harder to do.
The problem is like I feel like that takes away the funness of the raid, like
the specialness.
That's what I'm looking for.
That criticism is always bullshit to me. I don't. So what? Well, how does it take away your If you want to fucking raid, raid.
True.
Why do you give a shit how I get my gear?
Oh, no.
I've never understood that. This is in WoW and other sort of online games. This is the internet being fucking stupid in my mind.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Why do you care?
It should not diminish your character is badass. You have the best raid gear.
Right.
And I have PvE gear. Yeah. So what?
Totally.
So what?
Yeah.
And I go that different path. You're able to put together a 6-person raid team. Awesome for you. Well done. And I'm going to miss out on that content. And if this is the path I'm going to take, well, so what?
Well,
people who bitch about that drive me crazy.
I just think that I don't disagree with what you're saying, but maybe the overarching like problem with the game is that there really is only like a couple of options for you, and there's not a lot of content to like. Right. It's either like you got to grind it out yourself, or yeah, you got a few homies that you can do this.
Trust me. If I had a raid team, I'd be grinding the raids every week.
Well, that's the problem too. Making more of a community based around this, where you could be part of a group, adding a guild element to it,
they want it to be that way.
Right.
They force you to form a group, and they don't provide the tools for you to do
it
that.
It needs exactly. those tools
it's
to
so stupid.
To join a raid together, or like be a part
random
of
random groups.
Right.
Random at this point in the game. Random groups should be able to group together in-game and run the raid. The fact that that's not in there is idiotic, and that has to be fixed in Destiny 2.
There you go. So, I mean, that's the gripe is if you could, like, queue up for – and, you know, in, like, World of Warcraft does this thing where, like, you can't queue up for the raid if your gear isn't good enough. You know, and it has more to do with – but, like, Destiny is – it's such a like a skill based game over like a gear based. I feel like World of Warcraft and like Diablo, those kind of games, they're very like gear based. And this is more like, hey, you got to know what you're doing. You got to know what you're doing in this certain part. Otherwise, we're all gonna die, kind of a thing.
The problem is, have you looked at LFG and other sort of online sort of mechanisms by which people try to form a group.
Yeah.
They are all the filter is whether your gear is good enough.
Yeah.
So it doesn't that idea isn't filtering through. Gamers are still being assholes by looking at you and saying your gear isn't good enough, so I'm not going to group with you.
I haven't tried to group. Neither have I, but it's rare to find.
That's absolutely how they're doing it.
Oh yeah.
That needs to be addressed. Like their whole system has
WoW
kind of
solution
a...
is to for raids where it's a random group is you dial back the raid.
Right.
And that's a good solution. Your system should be smart enough that if you form a group by looking for raid that it should be a dialed back version of the raid. And yeah, the gear that drops should be slightly less than the main normal raid, and people are cool with that because then they get to see 10. Destiny 2 needs to do that.
Yeah, that's a 3-person activity. I don't have a group, and I honestly don't feel really that inclined to go looking for a group because there's an overarching feel
people,
that, you know what, the elitism of it is just like, you know what,
right.
It's you got to find the right group who's willing to carry someone who doesn't know the mechanic, is willing to put up with the struggle bus
of multiple
wipes, because you know what? If you don't know the mechanic, you are going to get your team killed.
And the way you could fix that in the game is, like, you assign someone that is, like, the Sherpa. Everybody calls, like, the Sherpa through the raid. Make that character have, like, an actual in-game, like, Sherpa'd. You know, and that guy it gets extra rewards or something for getting the group through or dealing with it. That would make sense. That's a crazy idea, you know.
Yeah.
We're getting in the weeds.
So, do we have other games? Do you guys have other games that you want to comment on individually?
Honestly, go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it was the doldrums. Most of March, I didn't play anything.
Oh, man, I had the opposite problem.
Okay.
So this month, For Honor came out, Ghost Recon Wildlands came out, and Mass Effect Andromeda came out. My friend was good enough to buy me two of them. that's the guys I play video games with bought me games so I could play with them. We've been playing Wildlands, and I rented Mass Effect Andromeda because I was really kind of worried.
Wildlands and Mass Effect getting shitty reviews.
Yes.
Mass Effect especially is getting
Mass Effect reviews are awful. And let me tell you, I played very little of the main story, the single player, but what I have played is garbage. Like the character animations look worse than Mass Effect 3. The dialogue is awful. It bugs out all the time. Like it doesn't look good. Like I'm like an hour into it and it's bad. Wow. But I've been playing the multiplayer with my friends, and yeah, it's got its problems, and EA servers are crap, but it's okay. It's still fun. It's fun to play with my friends. The game is pretty weak, dude. I'm really disappointed because I love the first three, dude. Probably one of my favorite video game series is ever, and for this to be this bad makes me really mad at them.
Well, and it's been a long time since Mass Effect 3, right? It's been 4 or 5 years. 5 years, hasn't
5 years and $40 million they spent on this game, and it looks like crap.
It's garbo.
It's totally garbage. The characters sucks, look man. Terrible, and the mouths don't match up. It's just
terrible.
Oh, what are you doing? We're in a time now where games should be looking real good, and for it to look like this, for it to come out like this, you need to rethink your shit, man. Because you're like, I don't even think they can fix it. I think it's beyond fixing. It just like the redo the whole character animation is impossible.
Wow.
Yeah. And like the character creation, I did like I made my own character. My character looks like an idiot.
Well, that sounds like your fault.
Like I spent a while.
It sounds like you can customize everything, and you just
you can't customize everything. There's limitations to what you can do, and the limitations make my character look like a goon. Like for real.
So it looks like you.
Oh yeah, giant goon Patrick giant version. Goon.
Did you give him a big thick red beard?
No, I did not.
You should have done that.
Because I made a lady, that's why.
Well, that's right, you lady game.
I lady game.
I am a lady gamer too.
I always make the ladies.
I don't know. I don't lady game. I
played as a dude for so long. I played as a dude for so long that it's kind of just like a thing now where it's like, okay, well, I just got to play the girls, you know? I just always play the ladies. So the
women.
The women, yes.
Females.
Character.
So, yeah, I mean, I like Wildlands. It's not perfect, but it's a lot of...
I haven't played any Ghost Recon games. It's fun. I don't know.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a third-person shooter, right?
It's third-person, and you can switch to first-person.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is the biggest map I have seen in a long time. It's like huge, enormous, huge area to fly around in and travel through, which is awesome. So it's not perfect either, but it's fun to play with your friends. It's hard too. Jesus, it's hard. So that's cool. But you guys have any other played anything else?
No.
I'm continuing to play WoW. A big patch just dropped this past week, adding a whole new landmass and area that you can play through.
Cool.
New reputation and the end game raid stuff is being introduced. And so, yeah, no, it's
Do you continue to play your character Atreidian through all of this, or do you have new characters?
I am continuing to play Atreidian, and I am.
See, that's.
I am working on Reputation cool. And finishing sort of some older content because I'm not quite ready to move on to the brand new sort of patch loaded content. Included with the patch, Patrick, you will understand what this means, is that there is a pathway to getting flying in Legion, activating your flying mounts.
Cool.
They have all been disabled up to this point. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well.
So no flying, Blizzard
has come out and saying that flying has more or less ruined a lot of the game. I mean, they had to do it because people wanted them to do it, but they like people running around on the ground, looking
and
at all the stuff.
It's much more fun.
Right.
Flying, you can skip a lot of stuff.
You fly over content that they've been making. You know, they want you to see the landscape and run around. Right.
I totally approve of that.
Yeah.
So, but this deep into the next, the expansion, they're doing the right thing. They added a patch that allows you got to work for it. Man, there's a lot to do. To unlock flying, but that's really going to be my motivator. I'm gonna focus on trying to do that path, and you got to grind up rep and do some other stuff, and that's cool. A good way to see the content, and I'll keep playing it. Yeah, it's fun.
That's awesome.
It's fun.
Andrew,
yes, sir.
Do you have a trivia question for us?
I do.
How old is this trivia question?
Actually, it's not that old. It's only about
4 weeks old.
Okay,
it's only about a week old. I got to give props to BuzzFeed. I saw, BuzzFeed does listicles, everything's a damn list.
Yes.
But this one I actually liked. I read through the whole thing. It's a crowdsourced article where they put out a request for people to post writing from movies or quotes from movies that were not only memorable and funny, but were also quite beautifully written.
Mm.
It was 41 beautiful quotes from movies you love, or whatever was the name of the article.
Okay.
It was on BuzzFeed, and a lot of the quotes came from movies kind of out in our wheelhouse, superhero movies, fantasy, sci-fi.
Uh-huh.
So I have a selection of 5 quotes from this article.
I love this.
I want you guys to identify the movie that it comes from.
Love it. Let's go.
Bonus points if you can tell me the character who said it.
Awesome.
This is a great trivia question.
I love this. I'm super pumped. I'm punching the sky right now.
I'm going to throw you a softball just at the beginning.
Softball, let's go.
Softball. My friends, you bow to no one.
Lord of the Rings, come on. And Aragorn
says
it.
Return of the King. Aragorn says it to the hobbits.
Bonus points.
Well done.
Yes! Okay.
Softball. That was a softball, Christopher. Nerd! Don't get cocky.
All right, here we go. Happiness can be found even in the darkest of times.
Ooh.
If one only remembers to turn on the light.
Ooh. I know this. This sounds familiar. This is going to bug me.
Happiness can be found even in the darkest of times. If one only remembers to turn on the light.
I think that is also Lord of the Rings.
It sounds like Lord of the Rings, right?
And it involves Galadriel's little vial of light. Frodo has, and Sam grabs in the Two Towers. Or the beginning of
I have nothing.
Right,
it sounds
of Return of the King.
It sounds familiar, but I got nothing, Andrew. So what is it from?
You're not correct, actually, Christopher. It's from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh my god.
Albus Dumbledore says it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, it's it does.
Same kind of themes.
It does. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, next quote. It's not who you are underneath. It's what you do that defines you.
Batman Begins. And it's technically said by Batman, but it could have been said by Katie Holmes. Because she says that to him first.
Yep.
So I don't know who you're...
Who Christopher, you're... do you have a guess?
I'll go with Patrick's answer.
You're absolutely correct, Patrick. It's Katie. It's Rachel from Batman Begins says that.
Dawes.
Rachel Dawes. Yeah, she says it to him, and then he repeats it later, and she's like, "Bruce? Oh my god!" Okay, keep going.
It's the way he identifies. A little more obscure. I really like this movie. You guys might not like it too much, okay. But I really like it.
Oh no, that's a hint. He just gave us a hint. Thank you.
The world moves for love. It kneels before it in awe.
Ooh.
The world moves for love. It kneels before it in awe.
I got nothing. I have no idea.
Christopher might when I tell him the answer, he'll get it immediately.
Blank. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank.
It's about his daughter when he sets her off on the quest to like at the end after Joaquin Phoenix gets attacked.
Mm-hmm.
I really
like that line.
I like that movie. I think that it's not great, but I think it's good. Also,
there's some scenes in.
I've wanted to see Split. I've heard that's really good. The new M Night Shyamalan.
I
want
to see that too. Yeah.
Once I see that at Redbox, I'm fine. Last one.
Okay. Two out of four.
This is an all time fantastic classic.
Oh. Classic. Let's go.
The Rain.
My tears.
Time to Die.
Oh.
All those moments.
It's Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
And it's, what's his name? Roy Batty.
Replicant.
Yeah. It's Roy Batty.
Patrick's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Roy Batty.
That scene where awesome. He's at the end after he's
3 out of 5. So, I think we did pretty well.
3 out of 5.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. And then you should email the show, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com, if you have questions, comments, and trivia or whatever. And follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek. Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook and Brothers Geek Played on Twitch. Yeah, that's
and
a lot.
And our website, brothersgeek.com.
Brothersgeek.com. Can't forget that one. Boom.
Content. If you guys have any going up on the website.
Content. If you have any suggestions for a rewatch in the near future.
We need to do rewatches.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
All right, well,
bye-bye.
Thanks for putting up with our hiatus, guys.
Yep.
Thanks for coming back. Bye.